chapter, Matthew 24, is eschatology. Eschatology. What is eschatology? That means the study of end times. That means the end times. What's going to happen over here? And Matthew 24 is talking about that. Now, Jesus has been through the ringer with the Pharisees, the scribes, the Levites, the priest, the high priest, the Herodians, the Sicarii. All of these political groups around here were at him. Enemies make strange bedfellows. Enemies make strange bedfellows. They hated each other, but they could get together when it came to killing one man that they all wanted to get rid of. And that's why they were getting along at all. He had called them, "Whoa, you blind guides, strain out the gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside is full of robbery and self-indulgence and adultery," all this things that he told them about. "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe the mint and the cumin, but you have neglected the weightier provisions of the law." He just laid it on them, thick, hard and heavy, telling the truth. He said, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to you, how often I would have gathered your children together the way a mother hen gathers her chicks under your wings, but you would not come. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. I say to you, from now on you shall not see me until you say, 'Blessed and holy is he that comes in the name of the Lord.'" That's in the end times. That's over here, right there, in the middle of the tribulation period. Matthew 24 and verse 1, eschatology. "And Jesus came out of the temple and was going away when the disciples came up to the point out of the temple buildings and said to him, and he answered and said to them, 'Do you see all of these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another which will not be torn down.'" Woo! He prophesied that the whole temple would be torn down. He was crucified somewhere around 30 AD, or a little bit earlier. Jesus was born, now AD and BC means before Christ, but the calendar was wrong, so he may have been born as far back as 10 BC. Herod died about 5 BC, the one who tried to kill him, so he had to be born before that because he had gone down to Egypt. Now, all of these political parties were gathered together to kill him, as simple as that. They wanted to get rid of him. The Jews said, "He's going to take our religion away from us." The Jews had come to think that the Mishnah and the Talmud were more powerful than the Word of God, and that they were even more relevant to Israel that day than Moses was. And they were not going to relinquish their authority to even the king, a Messiah king of Israel. They would not do it. Verse number 3, "And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us when all these things shall be, and what will be the signs of your coming and the end of the age.'" Eschatology. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will mislead many. And you'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for these things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs." We're going to put right there at verse number 8. "And he said, many will come in my name," or saying that they are the Christ. Now, I did this message, something like this, about 7 years ago here in Fish Lake Valley. Marilyn, do you remember when I preached false messianic claimants? Were you here?
I'm not sure.
I don't think she was. I think I was by myself preaching to the wall. But I did. And I wrote this all out back then, but I tried to print it again now, and my printer was a little light in some places, so I may have trouble reading some of this. So bear with me. Jewish, false Jewish messianic claimants. Jesus was not the only Messiah, so-called. Jesus was the Messiah, the real Messiah. He was the real King of Israel. He was the real seed of the woman. But many came before him, and a whole lot more came after him. Judas of Galilee. And remember, when they asked, Herod thought maybe this guy was Judas of Galilee. Now, this happened. Judas of Galilee was about 6 A.D. Judas led a violent resistance to the census imposed on Roman tax purposes by Quirinius in the Judean province about 6 A.D. The revolt was crushed brutally by the Romans. Menahem ben Judah, the son of the grandson of Judah, Judas of Galilee, was a leader of the Sicarii. We had three people supposed to go to the cross that were all Sicarii. The two people that were crucified with Jesus, and of course, what was the other guy's name?
Barabbas.
Son of the Father. He was one of the leaders of the Sicarii. Now Jesus, they demanded that Pontius Pilate turn this murderer loose instead of Jesus. And this murderer caused the whole nation of Israel to be brought down with his cohorts. Menahem ben Judah, the son and grandson of Judas of Galilee, was a leader of the Sicarii. Sicarii means dagger men. They're the ones many people believe that founded the island of Sicily, the Jewish mafia. I had one of my friends, Dale was his name, that claimed absolutely all the way back to the Sicarii. This was his family. They were all mafioso. And you ask many Italians, and they say the Sicilians are not Italians. They're Jewish. They are from Palestine. And they left there after the Masada. Some of them got away. The Sicarii, when the war broke out, he armed his followers with weapons and captured Masada. And besieged the Antonia fortress in Jerusalem, and overpowering the troops of Agrippa II in Judea, forcing the Roman garrison to retreat. Emboldened by his success, he behaved as an insufferable tyrant, thereby arousing the enmity of Eleazar, the temple captain, de facto a rival of Zealot, of the Zealot leader. Remember, the Zealots had actually captured one of the high priests and demanded ransom for him. They raped the women when they went into the villages, the Jewish villages, and demanded money to carry on their wonderful patriotic campaign. He may be identical with the rebel leader who him had tortured and killed. He may be identical with the Menahem ben Hezekiah mentioned in the Talmud and the Sanhedrin, and called a comforter that should come and relieve. The comforter. The comforter we know is the Holy Spirit. The Jews had ideas about all this, but they would not accept Jesus. Now let's go on a little bit further. There was a guy named Theudas in 46 A.D., a Jewish rebel of the first century. At some point between 44 and 46 B.C., Theudas led his followers in a short revolt. Some writers are of the opinion that he may have said that he was the Messiah. Vespasian, according to Flavius Josephus, John of Yaskala, after 70 AD, was a leader of the Jewish revolt against the Romans in the first Jewish-Roman war and played part in the destruction of Jerusalem itself in AD 70. You see, they would not accept Jesus. Jesus could have given them the millennial reign. But Jesus said here, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. In the 5th century now, that was in the 2nd century, part of it here, Simon Bar Kokhba, also Bar Kosiba, died in 135 AD. With the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, the appearance of Messiah ceased for a while. 60 years later, a political messianic movement of a large proportion took place, and the leader of the revolt, Simon Bar Kokhba, against Rome, was hailed as a Messiah king by Rabbi Akiva, who referred to him as Numbers 24:17, there shall come forth a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. That's Jesus. They're using all these Jewish, these prophecies to purport their false messiahs. And he shall smite the corners of Moab, and at Haggai 2:21-22, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the thrones of the kingdoms. The Talmud, Tractate Sanhedrin 97b. Although some doubted his messianicship, he seemed to have carried the nation with him for his own undertaking after stirring up a war in 133-135 AD that taxed the power of Rome. He at last met his death on the walls of Bethar. He founded a short-lived Jewish state before his messianic movement ended in defeat in the second Jewish-Roman war, causing misery for the survivors. Every time they went the wrong way, Jesus would have he would have taken over the world. He offered Israel the kingdom, people. He proved that he was Messiah. He proved it. But they wouldn't have it because they would have to turn the reins of the kingdom, the administration of the kingdom, over to him. They weren't about to. And Lucas, in 150 AD, was the leader of Jewish rebels during the Kittos War. Now in the 5th century, Moses of Crete. The unsuccessful issue of Bar Kokhba War put an end to this for centuries to the Messianic movements, but the Messianic hopes were nonetheless cherished. They wouldn't accept the real one, but they wanted a false Messiah. In accordance with the computation found in the Talmud, the mission of the Talmud, all of that, not the Bible, but the Talmud, their writings, interpreting the Bible. Remember, they had more weight in the Talmud and Mishnah than they had in the real scriptures. Jesus said, you nullify the scriptures with your traditions, and this was the traditions. In accordance with a computation found in the Talmud, the Messiah was expected in 440 A.D. In the Sanhedrin 97b and 471, and the Abu Sarah 9b. This expectation, in connection with the disturbances in the Roman Empire, attendant upon invasions, may have raised up the Messiah who appeared about this time in Crete, the island of Crete, who won over the Jewish population to his movement. He called himself Moses, Moshe. Moshe means to rescue and deliver, and promised to lead the people like the ancient Moses, dry-shod through the sea back to Israel. The sea is the Mediterranean Sea. They're going to walk dry-shod through the Mediterranean Sea. And they believed it. Jesus proved he was Messiah, and they wouldn't believe him. In about 440 to 470 A.D., his followers, convinced by him, left their position and waited for the promised day, when at his command they cast themselves into the sea to return to Israel. Some finding death, drowned. Others being rescued. The false Messiah himself disappeared. Socrates of Constantinople states that Moses of Crete fled, while the chronicle of John of Nicaea claims that he perished in the sea. While he called himself Moses, the chronicle gives his actual name as Fiscus. Now in the 7th century, they hadn't given up yet. Now the devil's always at hand, isn't he? He's always at hand. The Kosekian Chronicle records an otherwise unknown messianic claimant who arose alongside the Muslim conquest of Kuzistan. This Messiah led the Jews to destroying numerous Christian churches in Iraq. They went and destroyed Christian churches. That's what they did in Paul's day, wasn't it? Iraq and Iran. The pseudo-messiahs followed and played their roles in the Orient, were at the same time religious reformers who work influenced Carusian, appearing in the first part of the 8th century in Persia. Now this is a long name. Ishak ben Yalab Obadiah Abu Lesef, and a few other names, lived in the reign of Marwan II, 745 to 750 AD, and known as Abu Issa. Abu Issa. Issa means Jesus in Arabic. He claimed to be the last of the five forerunners of the Messiah that God had appointed him to free Israel. Having gathered a large number of followers, he rebelled against the caliph in Persia. But he was defeated and slain at Ra. His followers claimed that he was inspired and urged proof the fact that he wrote books, although he was ignorant of reading and writing. That sounds like the Muhammad's bunch, doesn't it? He couldn't write, couldn't read, but he quoted and wrote books. He founded the first sect that arose in Judaism after the destruction of the temple, the Isawiyah. And then we have Yud Khan called Al-Re'e, the shepherd of the flock of his people. Al-Re'e, now that basically is Arabic. El is God, Ra'e is shepherd or one who watches over. Al-Re'e, the shepherd of the flock of his people, who lived and taught in Persia in the first half of the 8th century. He was a disciple of Abu Issa, who continued the faith after Issa was slain. He declared himself to be a prophet. He was by his disciples regarded as Messiah. He came from Hamadan and taught doctrines which he claimed to have been received through prophecy, according to Shahrestani. He opposed the belief in anthropomorphism and taught the doctrine of free will, and held that the Torah had an allegorical meaning in addition to its literal one. Here we go into the Kabbalah, mysticized. He admonished his followers to lead an ascetic life, to abstain from meat and wine, to pray and to fast often, following in his master Abu Issa. He held that the observance of the Sabbath and festivals merely a matter of memorial. After his death, his followers formed a sect, Yadu Hanites, who believed that their Messiah had not died but would return. Devil's involved with a lot of this, isn't he? He's busy, huh? The devil's busy. Serini. His name is given variously in sources of Sharini, Sharia, Serenas, Zonaria, Saurua, Severus, the Syrian, was born a Christian. He preached in the district of Mardin between 720 and 723 AD. Those Christian sources depended on Theophilus' history report that Severus proclaimed himself Messiah. The Zuquenin Chronicle reports that he proclaimed himself Moses, sent again for the salvation of Israel. Serene promised to lead you into the desert in order to introduce you then to the inheritance of the promised land, which you shall possess as before. More as a prophet like Moses and a Davidic anointed one as such. The immediate occasion of his appearance may have been the restriction of the liberties of the Jews by the Caliph. Where they were under the Ottoman Empire, remember. And his proselyting efforts. Cervantes had followers even in Spain. Muslims ruled Spain under the Caliphate, the Ottoman Empire, where the Jews were suffering under oppressive taxation of their new Arab rulers. That oppressive taxation is called jizya. Jizya in Arabic. Jizya. That means if you want to stay alive, you got to pay protection money. Have you heard of that? That isn't that the movie Godfather? Isn't that what was that all about? We're getting a little look at Islam in those days, and we're looking at the malcontent, ignorant, foolish Jews. Many left their homes for the new Moses. These Jews paid instead a tithe to Cereni, like Abu Issa and Yugam. Cereni was a religious reformer, according to Nadai ben Nehemiah, Goan of Pumbedita. Cereni was hostile to the rabbinical Jewish laws. His followers disregarded the dietary laws, the rabbinical instituted prayers, the prohibition against the wine of libation, and they worked on the second day of the festivals, and they did not write marriage and divorce documents according to the Talmudic prescription, and did not accept the Talmudic prohibition against the marriage of near relatives. Cereni was arrested, brought before the Caliph Yazid II. He declared that he had acted only in jest, whereupon he was handed over to the Jews for punishment. Natrioni, l'Aide, laid down the criteria by which Cereni's followers would rejoin the synagogue, and most said followers then presumed to do so. They went back to Judaism again. The 12th century, this is the 1100s now. Under the influence of the Crusades, the number of the Messiahs increased, and the 12th century records records many of them. One appeared in France, in 1087, and was slain by the French. Another appeared in the province of Cordoba, in 1117. Moses al-Dari, a Moroccan teacher, gained a large following. He was convinced that the Messiah would free the Jews in the Almoravide countries at Passover in 1127 A.D. David Alroy, or Alrui, was born in Amadivn, and he appeared in Persia about 1160 A.D., declaring himself to be Messiah. Taking advantage of his personality and popularity and disturbed and weakened condition of the caliphate and the discontent of the Jews who were burdened with heavy poll tax, jizya, he set out upon his political screams, asserting that he had been sent by God to free the Jews from the Muslim yoke and to lead them back to Jerusalem. For this purpose, he summoned the warlike Jews of northern Persia and his co-religionist Masud and Baghdad to come armed to his aid and to assist in the capture of Ahmadiyya. From this point, his career is enveloped in legend. His movement failed, and he is said to have been assassinated while asleep by his own father-in-law. A heavy fine was exacted from the Jews for the uprising. After his death, Alroy and many followers in Kalf and Salmas and Taurus and Maraga, and these formed a sect called the Menahemist, still wanting to follow a false Messiah. The truth, a lie can get 100 miles before the truth can get its boots on. The Menahemist, from the Messianic term Menahem, assumed by the founder, Benjamin Disraeli, remember him? You've heard of him in history. Benjamin Disraeli wrote the novel Alroy, based on this man's life. The Yemenite Messiah who was an anonymously alleged forerunner of the Messiah from Yemen, who appeared in Fez just as the Muslims were making determined efforts to convert the Jews living there. He declared the misfortunes of the time to be prognostications of the coming Messiah, Messianic kingdom, and called upon the Jews to divide their property with the poor, preaching repentance, and those who gave their worldly possessions to the poor would gain treasure in heaven. Does it sound like a little bit of twisting up of what Jesus said? This anonymous pseudo-Messiah was a subject of Mahomany's Igaret Timan. He continued his activity for about a year, and he was arrested by the Muslim authorities and beheaded on his own suggestion. This guy mad believe what he said. He told them to behead him. Behead me, I'll rise again. Well, his inspirator was the devil, and the devil didn't have power to raise him again. He wanted to prove the truth of his mission by returning to life. Nothing else is known of him except the Maimonides and Agrat Timon, the Yemen epistle. The 13th century now. This is the 1200s. They're not finished. Jesus said, "For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will mislead many." Abraham ben Samuel Abul Lifan. Lifia, that is, 1240 to 1291, the Kabbalist. Remember the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah is right over there. This is Kabbalah. That's the spiritualizing away of the Talmud and the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is redelegating the authority of the scriptures themselves. The Kabbalists began the pseudo-messiahs whose activity deeply influenced by their Kabbalistic speculation because of his mystic studies. Abu Lafia came to be first, believe first that he was a prophet. And in a prophetic book which he published in Arbina in 1279, he declared that God had spoken to him. It is thought, though not proven, that in Messina, the island of Sicily, where he was well received and won disciples, and guess who's supposed to be founding that? The Sicarii. He declared himself to be Messiah and announced that 1290 was the year for the Messianic reign to begin. Solomon ben Adret, who also appealed to with regard to Abu Lafia's claims, condemned him, and some congregations declared against him and persecuted in Sicily. He went on to the island of Camino and to Malta. Still asserting his writings and his mission, his end is unknown. Two of his disciples, Joseph Kiktalia and Samuel, both of Medicea, later claimed to be prophets and miracle workers. They later foretold the mystic language of Avalon and Segovia. The advent of the Messiah, Abu Lafia, gained much modern notoriety as the name for the computer character of Umberto Fia's novel, Foucault's Pendulum. And then we have Nissim ben Abraham, another individual claiming to be of the priesthood, active in Avila around 1295. His followers told him that although he was ignorant, he had been suddenly endowed by an angel with the power to write a mystic book, The Wonder of Wisdom. This is copying Islam now. With a commentary therein, and again an appeal was made to Solomon ben Adret, who doubted Nissim's prophetic pretension and urged careful investigation. The prophet continued his activity and nevertheless even fixed the day, the last day of the fourth month of Tammuz in 1295, is the date of the Messiah's coming. The credulous prepared for the event with fasting and almsgiving and came together in the appointed day. Instead of finding the Messiah, some saw on their garments little crosses, perhaps pinned on by unbelievers to ridicule the movement. In their disappointment, some of the Nassim's followers went over to Christianity. That was a pretty good choice. In the 15th century now, this is 1400, this is Leonardo da Vinci's time, right during this time now. Moses Botero of Cisneros, active around 1413, after the lapse of the century, another false messiah came forward with messianic pretensions. According to Galitz, he pretended messiah to be identified with Moses Botriel. He claimed to be a sorcerer able to combine the names of God, and one of his adherents to the partisans was Hasdai Crescas. The relation is referred to by Geronimo de Santa Fe in his speech at the Disputation in Tortosa. Now, it says here that he claimed to be a sorcerer. Do you know that during the Dark Ages, all of the card readers, what they call the palm readers and all this, were all Jewish? All of them, the tarot cards and all this is all Judaism. This is Judaism. They had gone into absolute idolatry and devil worship. If they had any powers, it was by the powers of Satan. Now in the 16th century, Asher Lamelin, Asher K. Kai, a German, proclaimed himself a forerunner of the Messiah, appeared in Istria near Venice in 1502 and announced that if the Jews would be penitent and practice charity, the Messiah would come within a half a year and a pillar of cloud of smoke would precede the Jews on the return to Jerusalem. Oh, isn't this something? They just take bits and pieces out of the Bible and they proclaim it. He found believers in Italy and Germany, even among the Christians. In obedience to his preaching, people fasted, prayed, and gave alms to prepare for the coming Messiah, so that the year to be known as the year of penitence. However, the Messiah either died or disappeared. Isaac Luria, Hayim Vital, 1534 and 1573 and 1543 to 1620. Together they were apparently able to conjure up the spirits of deceased rabbis. Now, if they're communicating with the dead, it is through the fallen spirits and demon spirits of Gabriel. All this time, the Talmud, the Kabbalah, the Mishnah were ascribed to not the Bible. And all of this, the tarot card readings, the palm readings, and all this, this is all Jewish now. They were apparently able to conjure up the spirits of the deceased rabbis. One of the spirits they spoke to convinced them that he was Messiah and that he would come soon. Isaac Luria, 1534 to 1572, was a foremost rabbi and Jewish mystic in the community of Safed in Galilee, under the control of the Ottoman Empire, along with the rest of Israel. He is considered the father of the contemporary Kabbalah. Luria understood that he was the suffering servant, Isaiah 53. There was one suffering servant, and that's the one that suffered on the cross of Calvary, and that's Jesus. The suffering servant who was, in his own view, the forerunner of the Messiah of David. Chaim Vital, 1543 to 1620, started his career as an alchemist. Alchemy. These are the dark secret arts. The dark secret arts. This is voodoo, so to speak. Voodoo. Many of your healing houses and stuff today, they don't care. You can go into a East Indian, you can go into a Buddhist healing house, you can go in anything, and some of these Christians are saying, oh, it's wonderful. It's right straight out of hell, people. This is where it comes from. started his career, Chaim Vital, started his career as an alchemist looking for the philosopher's stone that would convert lead to gold. After several failures, he decided to study the Kabbalah with Isaac Luria. After Luria's death, Vital started to understand that he himself was the Messiah of David, and went to Damascus, Syria, and he proclaimed that God would redeem Israel when he had found 10 righteous people, the number mentioned in Genesis 18:32, but never succeeded. David Rubini, 1490-1541. Solomon Malico, 1500-1532, adventurers who traveled to Portugal, Italy, and Turkey. David Rubini, early 16th century, he pretended to be the ambassador of the brother king of Khabar, a town, a former district of Arabia, in which the descendants of the lost tribes of Reuben and Gad were supposed to dwell. He claimed he was sent to the Pope and the powers of Europe to secure a cannon for firearms for the war against the Muslim, who prevented the union of the Jews living into the two sides of the Red Sea, and he denied expressly that he was a Messiah or a prophet. Knesset Yisrael, claiming that he was merely a warrior. The credence which he found at the papal court in 1524, the reception accorded to him in 1521 at the Portuguese court, whether he came at an invitation of John III or where, be it at first received, the promise of help, the temporary cessation of the persecution of the Moronos, all gave the Portuguese and Spanish Moronos reason to believe that the Ruvini was a forerunner of the Messiah, and Celia, inquisitor of Badajoz, complained to the king of Portugal that a Jew who had come from the Orient, referring to Ravini, had filled the Spanish Moronos with the hope that the Messiah would come and lead Israel from all lands back to the nation of Israel, and that he had even emboldened them to overt acts. David Rubini and Solomon Malico were arrested on the orders of Charles V, Holy Roman Emperor, and the King of Spain. He was taken to Latura in Italy, where, being baptized a Catholic, he was convicted of being a heretic and burned at the stake in November 1532. A spirit of expectancy was aroused by Ravini's stay in Portugal, in Huerva and de Dubuque, close to Pueblo de Alcosor. A girl of 15 described ecstatic visions in which she talked to the Messiah, who took her to heaven. Boy, does this sound like Muslim again? Who took her to heaven, where she saw all those who had been burned in the thrones of gold, and assured her of his near coming. She only was known for us as the Maiden of Herrera, and was enthusiastically proclaimed a prophetess, and such was the commotion caused by her visions that the Toledo Inquisition had her promptly arrested. Remember, the Inquisitions, they would go in there and torture you until you said you did something wrong, and then they would finish you off, burn you at the stake or something. We're up to the 17th century, but we're going to finish this one right now. I hope that you've learned something from this. The Jews never gave up. The devil kept on inspiring people. The devil inspires more people than God does in this age, it seems like, and the age following us. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory. Please use it. Please help others to understand that your Son did come already, that he did all the things he was supposed to do, that he's coming again, but not like these people. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.